Welcome to Witta Digital's Unsupervised, a podcast series that brings you personal perspective from the front line of modern visual effects. This is a closed door session, so come on in and shut the door behind you. My name is Maxwell Barrett, and today we have visual effects supervisors Guy Williams and Sheldon Stopczak to talk about their work on Gemini Man.
Hi, Guy.
Hi, Sheldon.
Guy, you were heading up the show, obviously, and you were involved much earlier before I even came on. When did you first hear about Gemini Man?
It was pretty much 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago to the day. We heard that the project Gemini Man was coming back around, and that this time around they had attached Aang and Will to it and wanted to talk to us and see if we felt what we felt about the possibility of a full digital human that had to perform for a significant portion of the movie, not just a couple of shots here and there. You know, obviously we told them that we had full confidence that we could do it. And that we were prepared for the challenge.
I had a huge amount of respect for this sort of work, and if anything, with the experience that I had in the past with creating digital humans or performances, it's certainly something that I didn't underestimate, and I tried to be incredibly thorough right from the start with the experience that I had in the past. You don't fully comprehend of how many things actually have to come together. I think it evolves over time, and you learn as you go through this process, you know, whether it's the look dev discipline that considers the skin shading, whether it's, you know, how complex the facial behavior and the facial puppet is. Every aspect was so important, we kind of knew that. But I think it's also, to finish this thought off, it's good not to overthink it, because you can quite easily be completely overwhelmed. Was the on-set experience any different from previous experience that you had in other shows? Was there a larger focus on the visual effects? I mean, the big key of this movie is really the creation of this digital double that obviously is more than just a digital double. It performs as an actor almost. So was it, did you feel that the vibe was different on set?
The thing is, and as I'm sure you're aware, every set is different. Different productions approach different tasks in different ways. We had a bit of an interesting case in this particular movie where, for the most part, the production team that was put together to shoot a drama thriller. So as much as they all knew that there were going to be visual effects in the movie, a lot of what we were doing was fresh discovery for a lot of the crew. So actually, we had a few days dedicated in prep just to trying to explain to the entire crew what the footprint of visual effects was going to be, but also how that affected the way they were going to shoot their movie. Because it's not just a matter of, you know, hey, you're going to have a green screen once in a while with the tape markup on it. It was more like, when we shoot Will Smith, we are going to have to shoot him twice. We're going to have to shoot him once playing Henry and then once playing Junior. And here's a question for you. Do we shoot those both on the same day? Do we shoot it during post? Do we shoot it tacked on as a special unit at the end of the shoot or at the end of each location? So these were all logistics that we had to work out with the various teams. It's a very interesting process of watching people trying to do something that's never been done before and seeing how the people go about trying to solve those problems. Mm. One of the things that we were doing was this thing we call the Pepsi Challenge Test, where we put we took a scene from Bad Boys, the original Bad Boys, Bad Boys 1, with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence in the car, and we took a minute-long scene, and we picked two shots out of the scene, which is about 30 shots long, and we replaced Will Smith in those two shots. The idea being that if you run the whole scene together, can the average viewer find the two shots where we replaced Will Smith? We started on that work before I went off to set, but obviously while I was away, that's the point at which you joined the project and helped shepherd all that through.
Exactly. I came in around the time when you were just off. And obviously me being new to Weta as sort of the freshman and coming in, obviously there was a fair amount of my time to kind of get my head around things in general, but I found myself right in the storm of the Pepsi Challenge, which was interesting. And at the time I joined, I must say I was already pretty blown away of what had happened up until that point. The Pepsi Challenge was encouraging to me to see, because it really showed the potential, but it also showed right from the start the effort and the engagement of everyone, the whole team, to kind of chip in to make this a success. Because with those sort of things, you're a little bit against the wall, because you have to prove that you can do it. The Pepsi Challenge is not just done for fun or anything, even though it was fun in hindsight, but it obviously it was also done to calm down the nerves, I suppose, by, you know, our clients, the director, the producers, everyone involved, to really prove that we can pull this off. The Pepsi Challenge was great, although I guess in hindsight it's interesting as well how much of that stuff had to then obviously be re-engineered and taken further. I remember seeing the Pepsi challenge at some point and thought, like, oh my God, we're so far ahead. But then looking back at it now, it's interesting to see how much further it had come.
I do remember one point we were looking at a shot and we were lamenting at the success of the lips in the shot. And we were like, bring up the Pepsi challenge. We did it so much better in the Pepsi challenge. And we bought up the Pepsi challenge shots. And we were just like, ooh, okay, back to the drawing board. Follow-up question for you is there are a lot of parts that come together to create a believable human being. And, you know, obviously we can't sit here and talk about the 500,000 little pieces, the, you know, every rivet that goes into an airplane. But what creates a believable human more than anything else? Is it the skin? Is it, you know, everybody says it's the eyes, and I personally believe that. But, you know, what hasn't been done well enough and needed to be improved upon?
It's a good question, and I think I would almost slightly disagree with the statement, it is the eyes of what you said. I know a lot of emphasis is making believable eyes, and I think we had our fair share of challenge here, and we overcome a lot of issues on that front. But arguably, the reason why I'm saying, you know, it's not necessarily the eyes, it's, again, it goes back to the summer things. You do something else wrong, your lips are not quite right, and the whole thing falls apart equally. So in order to really be convincing and believable, all the components obviously have to work. I think what... And it's probably me seeing it sort of more in retrospect now. The biggest challenge that I felt back then and still feel is certainly the you know, the facial performance as such. You know, the appearance is one thing. Everything needs to look photoreal and needs to be shaded correctly. But I bizarrely had a good confidence that these are sort of almost mechanical components and problems that we can solve. I think the performance and the facial motion and the expression of Will/Junior was the most daunting for me. Biggest moving puzzle, moving piece there that proved to be incredibly difficult and challenging is the lips, really. I think Will's performance was so rich and his lips were so agile and there were so many nuances and movements within it. When he was, you know, crying, when he was emotional, when he was bursting and screaming, and everything changed, everything was different, and it just needed to be captured incredibly carefully. I think that certainly was for me the biggest challenge, and I think that the biggest problem area where we saw weaknesses along the way as we worked on these shots and refined them, areas that just, you know, constantly had to be reevaluated, improved, corrected, refined, questioned, you know, at every time, up until the point where we had satisfying results for every shot. And I think that was an incredibly time-consuming process.
The lips are by far a very tight second for me on the eyes. You brought up a very good point, which is they have to move exactly right and they have to convey the emotion and the spirit of the conversation. And, you know, even then we found ourselves struggling with, it's not just whether or not the lips are in the right positions and they have the right volumes. It's feeling the tension of the muscle inside the lip tells you if he's stern or if he's relaxed. And all of these were super critical things that we had to chase. I found that stuff really... really interesting, and it was like an onion. Every time you peel back a layer, you find another thing that you haven't considered. You know, we spent a lot of time trying to get the lips just right, and once we got them what we thought was right, we realized that we were not even halfway there, you know, and that we had a lot more shaping in the lips to do. But that's that iterative process you're talking about that we have to go through, and, you know, that's what the Pepsi challenge was really beneficial for, was it didn't necessarily, you know, we had hoped that it would solve a lot of the problems and get us halfway to an asset that we could use for the entire movie. But in truth, what it did was it educated us on what the conversation would be in the first place, what problems we would have to challenge ourselves with, and what things we'd have to overcome. So you did the beautiful scene in Varys's office, Varys being the character played by Clive Owen, who's... well, I won't go into too much about the movie because I'll let you watch it yourself. But suffice to say, there's a scene in Varys' office where Varys and young Junior have a conversation and it gets rather emotional. Between the pores and the blood flow and the tear sims, you know, that scene came across so incredibly well. Yeah, do you want us to tell us about what it took to put all that together?
A lot of time. that scene was challenging because it touched on the very emotional side of things, right? Whenever you have a performance and that gets into an emotional state where tears flow, I think your task to create a digital human or fully believable, convincing, breathing human is amplified again. As an anecdote behind that is, I remember seeing the actual entire take that was sent to us where Will who performed on that day himself there, was acting the whole sequence, and he did this whole take in one go, basically, where he stepped into the room completely, you know, sort of in good shape and a little bit angry, I suppose, and then he got so emotional and worn up. This is, I think, is a 2.5 minute sort of long take or something, and he literally burst into tears. So his performance was absolutely incredible, to really get from this, you know, sort of state one to this fully crying, emotionally completely worn up character was remarkable to watch.
To have a scientist make a person out of another person.
No, that's not what it was.
That's exactly what it was.
And that set a little bit the bar, because we needed to do the same thing. Yes, it intercuts, and I hadn't realized it at first, like how, you know, well he sort of continued this sort of build-up, and we tried to just really achieve the same thing with the digital junior in our scene, but just really trying to get this sort of progression built into the digital character is challenging. That, you know, your eye starting to flush with the, you know, blood, red from the blood, and it just all gets a little bit more sort of worn up, and your liquid in your eyes is building up, and you start seeing the tears accumulating, and at some point they start rolling down, and your face gets redder, and the tension is different.
You made a choice to do this to me. Can't you see how not okay I am? Bullshit!
It's certainly something that took a long time, and really to sort of strip down of like what it actually is that is all happening here, and how all these different things sort of start building up and result to this sort of emotional state.
The more we thought about it, we, you know, one of the first things we challenged back to them, one of the first things we said back to Aang was the richness of this character is going to come from Will Smith. And to their credit, Aang and Will created this performance that is just mind-bending. It was pretty funny that, you know, we snarkily walk into the room and say, well, it's only ever going to be as good as what Will does. And then Will does that, and you're like, oh, shit. Oh, okay. Bar raised. Challenge accepted.
I don't know how you felt, but I felt incredibly sort of almost like obliged to kind of really, you know, do its justice and do his performance justice. So even though he wasn't there as we worked on all of these, I always felt like, God, we have to pull this off. We have to do it justice of, you know, being able to kind of hit the performance that he gave us. If we don't, if we fall short, he's never going to forgive me.
This guy has shown up. He's a genuinely good guy who cares. He's an absolute eminent professional who has shown up and given his best performance that he can. You know, it, once again, you know, it's like playing tennis, and you hit a great hit over the net, and you're like, ha, take that, and then the guy zings it right back at you. You know, and it's you realize that it's once again, and it's in our court. It's for us to screw up. I mean, Will gave us everything that we asked for and then some, and took it to a new level. It definitely was a burden put back upon us to make sure that we didn't just dial in the digital side of it, that what we created was worthy of his performance. The other thing is, with Will Smith, you know, he's been in our sort of global consciousness for 30 years now. You know, we all feel like we have some kind of visual ownership. We all recognize him at a glance when he was young, from Fresh Prince, from Bad Boys, Independence Day, Men in Black, all those movies he had done. When we started on the project, one of the hardest thing I thought we were going to have to do was create a 100% living, breathing human being. And the second hardest thing was going to be performance. The thing that absolutely caught us off guard, it was identity. We knew that we could create a photorealistic Will Smith. What we didn't know was that if any one facial shape, not just the shape, but the traveling to the shape, goes through the wrong line, then instantly you don't recognize Will Smith. And it's amazing how fast we went off model. Feedback we were getting from the studio was that it looks like a real person. I believe that that's a person talking to me. It's 100% real. It just looks like it's Will Smith's cousin. And that's something that we found very challenging to tackle, because it meant that this massive 6-month effort of creating a believable human being had to be applied to some microscopic level to all 5,000 shapes, or whatever, you know, the number of shapes is, so that every shape was also that believable Will Smith human being. You have to get almost like a higher level understanding of it. And Will Smith, if you're listening to this, you know, I blame you. He, over the course of the last 30 years, has aged about 25 minutes. I mean, the guy is incredibly well-preserved. So once we did the first model and, you know, put Henry next to Junior and looked at them, we saw that it was incredibly hard to tell the difference between the two models, and we realized that we needed to have a much better and deeper understanding of the nuance that tells you what somebody goes through to become older. Speaking for myself, and I imagine Sheldon's the same way, but we're constantly stuck in this state of studying things and looking at things and trying to understand things better. And on this show, it was all about studying Will Smith. And like I said, I probably know the wrinkles on his face now as well as his wife does, you know, maybe even better. But whether or not we stop seeing Will Smith's face as Will Smith's face and we start seeing it as a collection of pores and wrinkles and muscles, the truth is, no, we always see it as Will Smith's face, because the glue that binds our observation is trying to always make sure that we come back to the performance and to the character.
Well, you kind of jump in and out from this, right? So there's moments where you do boil them down to like a set of wrinkles and pores and, you know, skin detail and whatnot, and it becomes abstract. But then you take a step back again and you start adjusting your eye and see the Will Smith as a whole.
Sorry, I wouldn't use the term boil him down.
Yes, probably not.
No Will Smiths were harmed in the making of this movie.
No, but it's true. Do I see things differently now? As you say, I think it's always been, it's part of the job, isn't it? It's always this desire to kind of understand things better around you. Are we getting close to the ceiling? I don't think we are, not just yet. I think there's still a long way to go for improvements. Everything can improve and will improve in terms of how things are being approached. Even now, to the point where, you know, we're already thinking about like the next sort of generation of technology and approaches to things that we've learned now. So things will change. The result may not necessarily make a huge leap, but it will be refined and will be improved.
We'll get smarter about the way we do it. The first time you build a building, let's say, you know, you build it out of wood that you cut trees down and so forth. It's a lot of manual specific labor to achieve the result. By the time you build the 100th house, you have a factory that cuts the wood for you, and trucks that ship the wood to the site already cut to the right sizes. That's the kind of stuff I definitely see in the future of digital humans, is refining the tools that we use to create them to the point where it's easier to create them so that they're more accessible to more productions that want to use them. Mm. As far as how successful we are, it's not for us to judge. It's a very good way to put it. It's one of the biggest challenges we have is that, you know, it's the old game of, if you say a word enough times, then the word starts to mean nothing to you. You can't understand the word anymore. Mm. We've been staring at this for so long that we are no longer valid judges of if we've 100% succeeded or not. That's going to be up to the audience to decide.
Yeah, that's true. I do think there will be a trend in the future to see more digital human work. I think, you know, it's been going on for a few years now, and it's picking up pace and it's increasing in that use and production. I'm almost certain about that.
One other thing I'd say is that I think the thing that Weta brought to this equation, because digital humans have been done a few times before, the thing that we sort of put a lot of emphasis and focus on was emotion, was making sure that performance and emotion came through as richly as skin pores and hair. Whether or not there are more digital humans in filmmaking and TV shows in the future, it still all relies upon performance, and performance comes from a rich performance from the actor. You know, we create a faithful representation of what the actor is doing on set, and, you know, so whether or not we create digital humans doesn't mean that we're changing the way films are made in the future.
That's true. I think we're not at this point, and I don't think we will be at this point anytime soon where we place performance, as you say. I think we couldn't have done it without Will, right? That's fair to say.
I agree with you 100%. Will's performance, Aang's direction, all the lighters and artists here, you know, the animators working to create that performance and make sure it comes onto the screen properly. The beauty of this situation is that, just like with a digital performance, the weakest link brings the whole thing down. For this show to work, everybody had to do their absolute best. It takes all the instruments playing very well for it to work.
Over the course of the first meetings that you took with Aang and Jerry and those guys, and you explained to them what it would take to do the digital human, you mentioned that you were confident in us being able to pull off the work. Did you believe yourself at the time?
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, it's that fun game of you always have to be confident. I mean, you know, in our job, regardless of whether we know if we can do something or not, we know that by the time the time is up, we will have done it. So it's a question of not confident in that we can do exactly this, but confident that I have the team at Weta, that there's so many talented people that work at this company, that I know that if I say I can do it, that come 2 years later, we will be talking about how we did it. I hoped for a certain team, and then the team I got was by far better than I could ever have dreamed of.
The team was remarkable. I mean, I must say that, just to chip in on that, I think we had an amazing team across the board, all disciplines, everyone involved was absolutely up to the challenge here and really lived up to the expectations. I think we couldn't have had a better team. I think it's fair to give a huge credit and kudos to Paul Story, our animation supervisor on this one, because as I sort of emphasized, a lot of it came down to performance of the character or detailing in terms of the lips and whatnot. And if anything, Paul and his team obviously were a huge part in that to carry the animation and the emotion and the performance. So I think a big credit and a big shout out needs to go to that entire team and Paul Story leading it up.
With the heritage we have here at Weta, with the people that we have here at Weta, the problem-solving abilities of those people. It's interesting that you can go into such an absurd concept as this and have faith that the people are going to pull it off.
Yeah, I think we did.
I think we did too. And once again, it's all about the team, right? It's not like you're rushing to try to get a job done. You're actually all coming together as a group of people who believe in a cause and are trying to make something great.
Next time on Unsupervised, we'll be sitting down with visual effects supervisor Ken McGaw, sequence visual effects supervisor Mark G, and animation supervisor Simon Duncombe as they discuss Jumanji, The Next Level. Thanks for listening.